Things going
perfect.
Good. I met you first. God, Luke Pfeiffer introduced us in the KFI
studios. Lord.
This goes way back. Helen gone back.
1923.
Sounds like. Listen, Merv, I just want to. I know you're busy, and I just want to just sort of check you on a couple of things here on KFRC. We're going to have this Monday morning on Drive here on KCBS.
Right.
So recall some of the old names from KFRC and what they meant to you.
Right. Starting right now.
Sure.
My early days at KFRC were, of course, Lyle Bardo, the late Lyle Bardo and his orchestra, and a large one at that for studio broadcasting. Mel Venter, the great voice of KFRC, David Schofield, who was the newscaster, Don Davis, a disc jockey, and it was a nice blend of live radio broadcasting, news, and some recorded shows, records and stuff. But the first year I was there, it was to the Mutual Don Lee Network. At that time, it was 44 stations. We included Oregon and Washington. And a newspaper writer who's not with us anymore, a great writer on the Chronicle by the name of Paul Spiegel, started writing a series of articles about this unusual musical show that was coming from San Francisco. Then New York, the main mutual in New York, picked it up. And then we would cover the whole United States. So for a couple of years period there, around 1946 to 1948, it was coast to coast from San Francisco, from the city by the Golden Gate.
If I recall, Merv, back in those days, back in the late 40s, mid-40s, you didn't come to work in a T-shirt and jeans in those days.
No. I don't think they had jeans, did they?
I don't think so.
Except the gold miners up at Sutter County.
Tell us about, you had great facilities there on Van Ness Avenue. Tell us about the studios.
Well, of course, it was all those years right across from the cathedral in San Francisco at 1000 Van Ness. And on the first floor, when we'd arrive at work, we'd walk through all the new Cadillacs, which belonged to Fred Pabst. And then you went upstairs to the mezzanine, and that belonged to his son, Bill Pabst, who gave me my first break there. Alan Lisser was a great announcer in San Francisco, and he did the auditions. And I walked in as a high school graduate, that's about all, with my friend Cal Jader, who had gone to high school with me, and he was at that time a drummer. And he went with me, and I was going to audition for a piano player. Alan Lisser said, well, we don't need any piano players, but we're losing our singer, Tommy Harris. He's going off to the war. Can you sing? And Cal Jader thought it was funny. He said, oh, Merv's a great singer. And we conned the guy, and I played the piano, and I sang a song called Sleigh Ride in July, which Dick Hames at that time had as a big hit record. And I'll be darned, they piped it into Bill Pabst's office, and he came in, and he looked at this large kid, you know, with a 46 waist and about 240 pounds sitting at the piano. And he said, well, what the heck, it's radio, nobody will see him, and he has a romantic voice, and they gave me the show. It all started as a joke and ended up, you know, as a lifetime career.
So in a sense, Tommy Harris gave you your start.
Tommy Harris and Tommy's Joint gave me my start, that famous bar.
And you had more than just the orchestra, so far as music is concerned. You played organ music in the afternoon, too. You didn't, but there was organ music.
Yeah, there was a great organist at the studio there, and one of the great pipe organs, but I didn't. They wouldn't let me near that thing. I couldn't play it. But even before that, before my professional broadcasting career, I used to play the organ down at St. Matthew's Catholic Church and direct the choir from the time I was about 15 years old. And so that was pretty good training. But it was called San Francisco Sketchbook. And then shortly after that, Bill Gwynn, who was a teacher over in San Anselmo, was hired by Bill Pabst, and he joined me, and we did a Saturday half hour called The Gwynn Griffin Show. And he is a delightful guy. And so he and I had the Saturday show for a long time together.
Now, the times we're talking about here, this is before Coconuts and before Freddie Martin.
Oh, yes. Well, that's how I got to Freddie Martin. Freddie, I was on late in the afternoon, early evening in Los Angeles. This was between the 1945 to 48 period. Freddie was playing the Coconut Grove in Hollywood and used to listen to me on his car radio. So when he came to town to play the Mural Room of the St. Francis, he said, find out who that kid is. And by this time, I had lost about 80 pounds. I was a nice, svelte 160 pounds, and overcame his secretary, Jean Barry, and she told me about this traveling band, and I said, yeah, well, what would that be like? And you said, well, you do this and everything. And I said, but what would it pay? She said, oh, we start you at 150 a week. I said, you don't understand. I'm making 10 times that now here. I had 11 shows a week at KFRC. So she left, and I thought about it, and she had told me that you'd play the Waldorf and you'll record on RCA Victor. So I quit my job at with all that money in 1948 and joined Freddie Martin for 150. Bill Papp said to me, "Are you crazy?" But I knew that that nothing would happen unless I got out there and, you know, sang with a big band and made the RCA records.
You know, they're changing call letters. Last week they thought it was going to be KMMG. They wanted to call it the Magic 61, but I talked with Vicky Mann at KFRC, and Vicky said the latest is going to be KMMS. What do you think about the demise of that great call letter?
Well, it's such a monument in San Francisco. It's like an institution there. That station's been through all kinds of formats and terribly successful. I guess it went to being the hottest rock station in San Francisco. Now I understand, is it true that the format's going to be big band music?
Big band, the 30s, late 30s, 40s, 50s, and early 60s.
Well, I can't tell you how delighted I am, because that ties right in with my plans. As you know, my last taping date will be August 21st at the Merv Griffin Show. The last air date that people will see it is September the 5th, I believe. I have already made a pilot of a brand new show called At the Coconut Ballroom. And we took a little bit from the Coconut Grove, the look of it at the Ambassador Hotel, the old Coconut Grove. And we took a soundstage in Hollywood and built an entire, the most beautiful ballroom you've ever seen. 300 people dancing. They have thrust stages on either side of the big bandstand where there's every kind of activity going on, from jugglers to hula hoop champions who perform throughout the entirety, and professional dancers. All the people dance. The place is full of celebrities, from Burt Reynolds and Lonnie Anderson, Ricardo Montalban, Michael York, Charles Durning, Ava Gabor, and you see them dancing. The show stars Merv Griffin and his orchestra, with arrangements by Billy May, one of the 22-piece band, all the music of the 40s. We feature four other members with me singing like the old Martin Men or the Pied Pipers, called the Merv Tones. A great girl singer by the name of Mickey Rhine. Guest stars Tony Tennille, a little 14-year-old youngster who is about the best singer I've ever heard in my life, comes right out and sucks over the songs. Everybody has a great time, and I think the show will start on the network, on a network, which I can't reveal yet, at 9 o'clock on Friday nights, coast to coast. So it's like going back to the old roots, and I'm glad KFRC is going to be in the big band business.
Well, get some of that sound to Vicky Mann at KFRC. I know she'd love to hear from you.
Oh, you betcha.
All right. If you had something to say to KFRC today, what sort of a salute would you give them?
I salute them because I think they're right on target. I mean, they've been a station that has magically, each time they've changed the format, come right in on what's happening in the country. And if you read recently, there were less than 100 stations in America devoted to big band music. Now there's over 1,000. So something is happening. For years, people have been saying, big bands are coming back. And the public all said, yeah, but who cares? They aren't saying who cares anymore. There's an undercurrent now of something that's going to happen in America. You've got the graying of America, which is happening, and they suddenly found out, with all this youth kick and youth television series, with youth commercials on television, everybody had to be youth, and suddenly they woke up and said, hey, the youth don't have the money to buy our products. So now you see in commercials, there's one gray-haired person, now there's getting to be two, and now the demand for that kind of music is back.
Now, I'd heard somewhere, wasn't it, a couple of days ago, that MTV is in a little bit of trouble, but that rocks out of theirs.
They may have to put a gray-haired person in.
I qualify.
Yeah.
Listen, I appreciate you calling me.
Well,
I know, Ken, you're very
it's wonderful
busy.
To talk to you.
And listen, do you ever talk to Jack Clark?
Jack Clark, I haven't seen in a long time.
Oh, if you happen to. He's a background voice on the Wheel of Fortune, you know.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought you were talking about a singer I knew.
No. That.
Jack Clark, I see all the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, give him my regards. He and I used to. We had.
We're talking music business, and you really.
Jack was an announcer here at KCBS years ago, and he and I had so little to do on Sunday mornings, we used to make model airplanes in the announce booth.
Oh, I also think he must have been rehearsing speed on his lips. I never heard anybody do a promo for something that one of the winners has just bought and go on shopping. Nobody can do it faster than Jack.
Oh, no, he's great. He's really a super.
We're going to get him in the lip division of the next Olympics.
You got a good man. Yep. Merv, thanks again.
Okay,
I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.